Our help and only expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing 297, the stanza 1 and 3. Oh, praise the Lord, for he is good, his mercies still endure. And the third, oh, praise the Lord, ye sons of man, for all his goodness shown. 1 and 3, 297. Scriptures can be found in the first chapter of the book of Revelation. The revelation of St. John the Divine, the first chapter. But before we listen to the holy law of the Lord.
And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother, and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches.
Let's seek to face the Lord in prayer. Mrs. Mull desired to be with thee. She has passed away. Being in the mission, supportive of her husband, always, and thou hast done what's right in thy eyes. Remember the family, remember the pastor. When he has to go now without his wife, let he be satisfied with thee, O bridegroom of the bride, O living Savior, who said, I live and thou wilt live. Remember his family, his children, grandchildren. In these days of suffering and hurt, look down from heaven and shine upon them for Christ's sake. Lord, open the scriptures this morning that we may behold thy glory in the word. Although thou hast gone to heaven, thou hast left behind thy precious word as a treasure of the church. And we pray that out of that treasure we might receive old and new things on the pulpit and in the pew. And we pray that the blessings of thy word may be bestowed upon every one of us. The little ones who can't understand all these things properly. But if thou speakest one word, then even the little ones will hear it. And out of their mouth will be strength ordained. Be with those who are on the catechism classes, the last confession class, and grant them to believe and to testify. It's a gift. Lord, remember the whole congregation in all their sorrows and all their afflictions, but also in all their blessings. For thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sitting at the right hand of thy Father as the heavenly high priest, blessing thy people with pierced hands and a pierced side, has been dead and not living, and that we might say by grace we live in thee as a dead sinner in ourselves. Lord, remember the work of mission in Malawi, or where our students went hurt. Is in Greenville and having a course there, and prepare him, Lord, to be a preacher of righteousness, of thyself, being a witness of Christ. Thy glorious name, and all thy works, and all thy glory. Thy sufferings, thy resurrection, thy ruling as the King of Kings at the right hand of thy Father until the last will be ended in birth and rebirth to meet thee in peace. Lord, we pray for our government here in Canada and Ontario, and thou art anyways the King of Kings, the Prince of all the kings of the earth. And sometimes we don't see thy governing power. It seems to be the devil is at the steering wheel. But let's see higher. He has still to do what he has to do, and not as the end there. There will be a loss of many at the end of the days, not gathering anymore in the house, fallen away from truth. But Lord, thou art so faithful to thy own, and never forsake them or let them go. And that's where we rest. Have mercy upon the whole congregation, the sick and afflicted, the families who suffer. Thou hast said, open your mouth, and we do it. Not pleading upon our righteousness that's not here, can meet the requirements. We are pleading on the righteousness of Jesus, thy Son, and his faithfulness, and his love, and his peace, and his beauty. Lord, bless us, please, on the pulpit and in the pew, for thy glorious name's sake. Amen. Congregation, the text. Verse 17 and 18. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. In the first place, where did John Apostle John see him? In Patmos, a little isle near Greece. You need 30 miles to go all around that little isle. 30 miles, so that's not much. He was banished for the word. Domitianus, the emperor, had tried to burn him in a vessel, and it didn't happen. He couldn't be burned. That's what church history says. And then ultimately they said, let him go to Patmos. There he is not a danger anymore for preaching. So he was there for the word he preached. He had stopped that mouth. And therefore he was there in Patmos. But God turns always things upside down. Although he was persecuted for the word, he received the word. The whole book of Revelation. You can say it also positively. He was there to receive the word. Write it down, he says, not only for you, but for the generations to come. So the devil says, stop. And God says, continue. It's always different. Always the other way around. God's ways are higher than our ways. You see it also here. And on the Isle of Patmos, he had a revelation vision. He saw the Word. He saw Christ. He saw a revealed Christ in glory. He saw the glorious Christ, risen and being at the right hand of his Father. He revealed himself to John at Patmos. And you read, he fell as dead at his feet. He didn't say, "Oh Lord, I'm happy to..." He fell as dead. As dead, not dead. Like dead at his feet. Why? "But no wonder he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, 'Fear not.'" You don't need to fear me. "I am the first and the last." He didn't say, "I'll help you," or he answered by his person, "I am the first and the last." God saves his people by the person of the second person of the Trinity becoming flesh. He says, "I am." That should be enough to hear, that I am the first and the last. "And I am he that liveth and was dead. I was your ransom. I paid all your debts." Oh, dear John, love you. Paid all your debts. "And I'm risen to pray and to explain and to rule the church." He walks in the midst of the golden candlesticks and has the right in his right hand the stars, the ministers of the preaching of the word. "And I have the keys of hell and of death. I rule. I have the keys of hell. I open and I close. I'm judge, but also of death. I have the keys of hell and death." Well, before we continue reading the chapter and the verses out of it, let's sing 408, 1, 2, and 3. 408, 1, 2, and 3. 408, 1, 2, and 3. "Ye who in his temple throng Jehovah's praise prolong, new anthems sing, ye saints with joy declare your Maker's loving care." And what's following? 1 through 3, 408. congregation, Christ has revealed himself in glory to Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, to be Paul, an apostle. Christ didn't send him while he was humiliated. He sent him when he was glorious. He saw his glory. And John the Divine, the apostle, saw the glory of the Lord Jesus too. When everyone said, it's over with your ministry, you're not a minister anymore, you can preach. You have tried to burn him in a pot, says church history. But he couldn't be burned. It's a miracle. And then what they said, we say, Domitianus, the king of the emperor, said, let's put him to Patmos, a little isle near Greece, between Greece and Turkey today. And there he is no danger anymore. They banished him. He had lived in Ephesus with Mary. Even if you would go to Ephesus today, they would show you a little house where they said John lived there with Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. He took care of her. But he had to stop preaching. Therefore he was, for the word of God, banished to Patmos. Now then the world says, now his ministry is over. No, it started to begin just. When the world says your ministry is done and we don't like you anymore, then God starts to work. Always differently. When he said, stop your mouth, God said, I'll give you revelations for the things which hastily will happen. Wonderful, isn't it? The emperor is not in control. The church is not in control. Christ is in control. And all by himself on the Isle of Patmos, Christ revealed himself to his dear child and servant, John the Apostle. In congregation, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. It's clear out of this text already that the congregation gathered not anymore on the Sabbath day, but on the first day of the week. That's the Lord's day, like the Lord's Supper and the Lord's day. It's the day of resurrection. And I've said before, the church always was every week remembering Easter, the resurrection of Christ out of death. Therefore Calvin, and I'm not pushing for it, doesn't matter, but Calvin therefore said we shouldn't remember Good Friday and other Easter especially. Every first day of the week, God created the world the first day of the week. God recreates the world of the first day of the week by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. First day of the week. He is the first and the last. Well, congregation, he was in the Spirit. The Spirit, he was in a spiritual ecstasy, probably I can say it. He was in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. On the Lord's day, and he heard behind him a great voice. Strange, and behind him. Do you know what it means? It was unexpectedly, he thought it's over. I'll die here probably in Patmos. My ministry is done. And then unexpectedly from behind him he heard a great voice. God continues preaching using instruments. The stars, the seven stars, the ministers of the congregation of the seven churches in Minor Asia in his right hand. He continues. We try to stop. But God says, I'm not stoppable. The good pleasure goes by my hand happily on, continues. A great verse, not a loud verse. There's a difference between the great voice and the loud voice. A loud voice, I'm sometimes way too loud. But God has a great voice, a divine voice, a powerful voice to be heard. The divine word of God. Later on, it says that he heard the voice as at many waters. That word of God, Christ is the word of God, and that word of God was preached at many waters. Now, the waters in the Bible are always the peoples of the world. So it's a mighty word that goes through the world. That's the word of God preached in every creation, in every nation, in every nation all over the world, from east to west, south to north. Therefore, he says, write it down. Things are going to happen, what you read in this book, what you have to read. As of a trumpet, clear. God doesn't mumble. People sometimes say to me that God isn't so clear in speaking to your soul. If God speaks to your soul, it's clear. Don't say to me it's not clear. It's like a trumpet. If he ever has spoken to you, never forget it. And you know God spoke. The sheep hear his voice. It's not so. Yeah, but Samuel didn't know. No, he didn't know that it was God, but it was clear what he said. If God speaks to you, he doesn't speak halfway. His sheep hear his voice and obey him, follow him. As of a trumpet. Well, congregation, when he has seen the Lord Jesus, he saw him walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks. The candlesticks is the place where the light is burning. The candlestick is the congregation where the light shines into a dark world. If there was no candlestick anymore in the world, it was all dark. Uttermost darkness. It's a wonder that we just have here a little congregation and the word is preached. There's a light in darkness. Christ is the light. And the ministers testify of the light that comes into the world. Remember, in the world, no congregation anymore. Or the candlestick taken away. Then all are in darkness. There is no light except God's word. And in the word revealed Christ, preached by the ministers. No less, no more. And in his hands he had seven stars. The seven stars, it's explained already, were the seven angels, those who preach the word. Now, his right hand is the right hand of his power. If God uses a minister, he uses it powerfully. When he calls you irresistible. You might be the biggest enemy of all, but if God calls you, he brings you down and pulls you, draws you. Effectively and powerfully. If that's not the case, what are we doing here? And he has it in his right. He uses them as instruments to preach powerfully the word, to pierce, convict, and console, comfort in Christ. That is a powerful word. He supports them, holds them up, lifts them up. God always works in the ways of means. Therefore, he sends his ministers. And when he sends his ministers, he works by that minister, that angel. I don't know for who, and for whom, and for many, but he will be used. Otherwise, he wouldn't send it. He pulls them, he carries them. When they are tired, when they are persecuted, John wasn't able to be burned in that pot. And his mouth couldn't be stopped. The devil says, "Stop your mouth now, it's over." Couldn't be. For he was in the right hand, the powerful hand of Jesus. Almighty hand. Even against sometimes his will. He might have said, "It's better to go now. It's over." God says, "Not over." It was in the year 95, thrill 99. We don't know exactly. So he was old. He's been the oldest of the apostles. I think he became 99 years. You know that in the last times when he came back to Ephesus, he only says he was sitting there. And every time they brought him front in the church, and he said, "I have one thing to say, love ye one another." That was his short sermon, "Love ye one another." And then he took his seat again until he came home. In congregation, he saw the Lord Jesus, and I come back to it. He himself saw him in glory. I've read this, and I understand scripturally what happened. When God in Christ revealed himself to John at the Isle of Patmos, he saw the glory of God. And who can stand and be in the presence of the glory of God? Who can? You know that the Bible says seeing God is to die. And therefore, if we ever have the privilege to meet him in glory in heaven, it can be in this body, can be. Flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, can't. This corruptible can't inherit the kingdom of God. We can meet him in flesh and blood. This corruptible, by the sepulchre of Jesus, needs to put on incorruption. Then we can meet him in glory. The way to heaven is through the sepulchre of Jesus. So when the Lord Jesus in his divine glory showed himself, revealed himself to John the Apostle, he fell as dead at his feet. Couldn't be. Feared. Even a child of God with forgiveness of sins, when he meets Christ in glory, he crumbles. He fell. Couldn't stand a little moment. Some speak about the glory of Christ as not glorious. But who can meet God and live? He fell as dead at his feet. May I ask you, have you ever been in the privilege that Christ has revealed himself to you in his word? Could you stand before him? As dead. Not dead. Jacob, not dead. But as dead. We make sometimes of the gospel and the word of God a soother, forgetting the holiness of God and the majesty of God. I'm so afraid sometimes of church psychology. Only comfort, no fear. But every time, if you read in the Bible, when God reveals himself, the glory of God revealed in Ephrata, they fear. If you never fear, you'll never rejoice. God's people have feared. Even after grace. When you know your human nature, total depravity, not conformable to the image of God, by nature, my old nature, he fell as dead at his feet. But congregation, when I read this, I read there is more to say about it. Why? Well, Paul speaks about it in the letters, and he said, I died, yet I live, but not anymore me, Christ lives in me. Paul speaks about his conversion as a dead sinner living in Christ, or by Christ, his life. And what I live by faith in Jesus Christ. Can I explain it? No, I can't. But what it says, when Paul speaks about it, he says, my life is outside of myself. I'm a dead sinner, but he is my life. I am a deaf sinner, but he is my ear. I am a blind sinner, but he is my eye. I am a hard sinner, but he is my soft spot. I, by nature, am full of hate. Doesn't subdue to the law of God, but Christ does, instead of me. Wash me here with his precious blood. In congregation, what I this week specially saw, and I don't know how long I can preach about it, that grace is total substitution. I died, I'm dead, but I live, but not anymore me. That's grace. Christ lives in me. And what I live by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's gospel. As a dead sinner, I live. I fell dead at his feet. I died at his feet. But I live. But not anymore me. I'm still the dead sinner. But Christ became my life. and my salvation dear, my light and truth. This is gospel preaching. I'm not a living sinner, but a dead sinner. And Christ is my life. And what I live by faith in Jesus Christ. I've heard many people speaking about a living sinner. You say, no, I know I'm made alive. I'm made alive. But do you know what it means to be made alive? Christ is my life and my salvation dear. That's grace. We want to be counted in the number. Yeah, but pastor, if he lives in me. Right, yeah, that's right. But he lives. And what I live by faith in Jesus Christ. He is my life. And I say it again. And do you know how you see it in this chapter? Well, the Lord Jesus laid his right hand upon him while he lay there as dead. That's grace. When God lays his hand upon you. His right hand of power to raise you from death. Like the keys of hell and death. He lays his hand comforting upon him. And he says, I help you. No, he didn't say that. I am for you, even that he didn't say. He says, fear not, that's first. And he laid his right hand of power to raise him, and his right hand of grace to be gracious to him. And saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. He didn't say, you're safe now. He said, I am the first and the last. The answer to my death is, he is. Well, I'm not anymore. When I die, he lives. That's grace. I am. Echo Eimi, that's divine word. God is God. He is. He says, I am the first. The Alpha, that's the first letter of the alphabet. And the Omega, that's the last letter of the alphabet. But I am the Arche, the first. He was the firstborn in this chapter, prototokos of all creatures. Adam was created in the image of Christ. No, pastor. Ah, you don't know what you're saying. The Bible says so. Adam was created in the image of Christ, of God in Christ. Adam was a type of Christ. Christ wasn't type of Adam. He is the firstborn, the prototokos of all brethren. Before all ages. He is the first. But also in the spiritual sense. When God gives you grace, he is the first and not the last. Also the last. I come to it. If there is something before him, it's not nothing. It's nothing. He is the first. The Alpha. When you're in Christ Jesus, he being the first, you're a new creature as if you had never fallen, been fallen or sinned. That's grace. not the last. Yeah, also the last, but I come to the word last. Not me first and then Christ, no. Christ first and not me anymore. No past. Yes! Christ alone. The Word alone. God's pleasure alone. If He is my first, what do I need more? If He is my beginning, the beginning, then I'm new. As a dead sinner, He is the first living. Make me alive in Him. But also the last. The last is not the last of... First and the last means all. If you're a Christian, Christ is all. Paul says all in all. If He is not all, He is not the first and the last. If He is your all, you're His nothing. Dead. If you want to speak about yourself and not about Him, probably He is not your all. You're not dead. And what can you say about the dead? Why are you so crushing preaching? No, I'm not. That's gospel preaching. And they saw no one else then. Have you seen Him to be your all in all? As a dead sinner, be in all your righteousness, all your wisdom, all your knowledge, all your comfort, all your love. You're all. You're all. First and last, nothing else. First and last. If He is the fullness, what need I more than the fullness of Him? But last means also something else. It's the loss. It's the purpose. Christ is the purpose of the whole creation. The telos, the end. God created the world for Christ. To glorify His Son. He made a marriage for His Son to be glorified. The Son honored the Father, and the Father honors His Son. The firstborn, the onlyborn of all creatures. The seed, the woman. Now, I have a question. Have you a problem when I say the world was created for Christ? Were you a bit opposed inside? You know why? Not dead. Not dead. Not fallen at His feet. Still important. But if He is your all in all, can you be then? I died, yet I lived, but not anymore. No practice. Me and you. Anymore me. Christ liveth in me. And what I live by faith. Not by feelings, but by saving faith. The Son of God. Boy, you want to be ready. You know when you're ready, when you're dead. And Christ lives in you by saving grace and faith. So it's not only congregation that he couldn't stand in his fallen nature in the presence of God. It's gospel preaching. He laid his right hand upon me. It says, fear not. I am your all in all. If that's true, I can die. And it's true. If he is my all in all, I don't need anymore else. Nothing else. Nothing else. They saw the glory of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they saw Jesus alone. He laid his right hand upon me. Fear not. I am the first. I am he. When you're not in being are anymore. Congregation, in the preparation of this word, I saw religion. And I saw that I still wanted to be something outside of Jesus. A goody-goody. Saved one. But are here sinners, and I know there are here sinners, who can come further than death? And Jesus tells me. And death will hear the voice of the Son of Man, and they will live. Outside of me. I saw again what happened when Luther started preaching Christ. And he preached Christ, the glory of the Father, and the comfort of the people of God. He didn't preach converted people, he preached comforted people by the comfort in Christ Jesus, dead sinners. He died, lived, but not he anymore. Christ lived in him. And congregation, if you then read this chapter, it's a glorious chapter. And I turned to see the voice which spake with me. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, my substitute. Son of Man is my substitute. He is it, I'm not he anymore. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, that's his righteousness. He is my righteousness, a garment from top to bottom covered. Covered all my sins and mischief, my old rotten nature. Covered by the white cloth, the linen cloth of the heavenly high priest, who has once sacrificed, saved my soul. Covered. He is my cover. Is he yours? from top to foot. My hands, my eyes, my bowels, my desires, my selfishness covered by Jesus in the sight of God. I saw them, the 144, clothed with white raiments, palm fronds, palm branches in their hands, praising God. Where are they come from? From the great tribulation, and have washed their clothes in the blood of Jesus. He is my cover. I have no other cover. His righteousness and blood covers me. And listen, congregation, please listen. He is it. Only faith in Him covers me. Do you know what we always want? We want to have it and be ourselves. No, only in Him I'm covered. With that right rope of Jesus, the bridegroom covered me. Kafar is forgiven, eh? Kafar is the cover, that's the mercy seat on the law. It's the kafar. He covered me in the sight of a righteous judge. He says, if you seek me, let my people go. Let my people go. May I ask you, have you been sheltered under that cover? That God had nothing against you anymore. The fruit of it is peace and love in Him. Fear not. I'm your cover. I wash your sin, that I'm raised in the glory. I am your only cover for time and eternity. Let's sing. 192, 3 and 4. 192, 3 and 4. Thou who hast sent me many griefs and poor, oh, turn again and now and comfort me. 3 and 4, 192. build around his paths, around his heart. And I think Gill is right, he says, that's the love of Christ. For he has loved me with an eternal love. John, I have loved you before the ages, eternally. Gold, pure. I don't live by my love for Christ, I don't. For it's now and then a banana. But I live of the love of Christ for me. That golden pearl around his heart. For the love of Christ constrains me. That's different. People say, I love the Lord, and I agree. But I love him because he first loved me. He expands, he says, see the golden girdle around my heart. For the love of Christ constrains me. Did you love him to be loved by him? You hated him. But he loved you while you hated him. He died for you when you were even ungodly. And he loves you to the end. John. The golden girdle around his heart. Pure. Not selfish. But love in word and act. He is my love. You understand? He is my love to the Father. He is it. My substitute. To love. And therefore, by the Holy Ghost, love him. His hair are white like wool. Gray hair in the Bible is always a sign of wisdom. Gray hairs show wisdom. Now, I'm not saying that I'm wise, but in the Bible it says gray hairs are signs of wisdom. He is my wisdom. I don't know, I'm dead, blind, foolish. But he is my wisdom. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, that's that white cover, holiness, and total redemption. He is it to us. If you're a Christian, and if you lack wisdom, ask him. And he won't reproach you. Divine wisdom. For my wisdom is just foolishness. But he has white hair, wise. He rules different than I think. When I think it's over and my ministry is done, he says, now it starts. When I'm ready to be burned, he says, no, flames don't catch you. They couldn't. It was a wonder that they couldn't burn John. Says church history. He was there for the word is Christ. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm clever, I don't need him. Yeah, I know you're clever, yeah. But your cleverness should be foolishness, then start needing him. Without me, you can't do anything. His eyes were a flame of fire. He pierces you with your eyes. He knows everything about you and me. He knows everything. Omniscient. I can't hide myself from him, and I don't need to. He laid his right hand upon me and he says, "Ye dead sinner, I know everything about you, but I still love you." But all that flaming eyes, if you're outside of Christ, they will turn you to fire. And out of his mouth went a sharp double-edged sword, preaching law and gospel, not only the gospel. First the law to condemn, and then the gospel to save. And he has the stars in his right hand. Use them. Preaching is the voice of many waters. I have even sometimes believed, but you can't and you don't need to agree, it doesn't matter, that he's mighty to convert the Pope of Rome. And sometimes in the book of Revelation, it seems to go to happen. But pastors don't believe it, that's up to you, it doesn't matter. We may disagree. But one thing I tell you, that sword cuts asunder, pierce you to death. But that sword brings also the blood of Jesus to be poured upon your soul in the Spirit of Christ to seal the truth. Not once, but doubles. Some people only preach the law. Some only the gospel. It kills and makes alive. It's a double out of his mouth. The word is a spiritual sword. I've said to you once, if you're hurt here, stay here. God will heal you by that same sword. The blood of Christ covers from all sin. His countenance was like the sun shineth in strength. Where he shines, darkness disappears. Darkness flees away. In his light we see the light. We have been in uttermost darkness. But when he shines upon you, you'll see the light of righteousness. He is my light and my salvation. Dear. Like it shines in strength, not cloudy anymore. Full day, full glory, full majesty. John, fear not. I paid your debt. I took your death away. I'm raised. I have the keys. John, I closed the hell for you and took away death to life. John, fear ye not. I am your first and your last. You're all in all. To him. And how do I get it, Pastor? By true saving faith. Nothing more and nothing less. Resting on his shoulders. Kissed by the promises. Embraced by his eternal love. Clothed with the white robe. without spot and wrinkle. He is my first and my last, my all in all. Is he? Stays he? Changes he? Fear not, John. You're mine. And you're all in all, John. Fear not. Fear not death nor hell. I was in there for you to close the door, to take away the pangs of hell and shed abroad the love of an eternal God in Christ. Oh, what a wonder would it be. And now he's preaching. And in preaching he lays his right hand upon you. Fear not. He that lay is dead, having nothing any more than dead at his feet. I am your life. Eternally. May God bless his word. Amen. Lord, forgive me that I haven't preached thee more, and more beautiful, and more comforting, more glorious, and in all my ministry, forgive me, that I have left any room, a little bit of room, to a man, a dead sinner, dead in sin and trespasses. But thou art the purpose, the telos of creation, the firstborn, the king and the high priest. Oh, glorious God in Christ, make us what we are not, a dead sinner, living in thee by faith. Lord, reveal thyself to these people, please, as the all in all. May lose everything to gain thee. Always given over into death, that this body of death might be destroyed. We're always too much. Thou must increase and we decrease. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. Please bring people to liberty. And one obstacle is they are not dead. And they are preaching them, living in sin as a life and living sinner. With thy word says, I feel a fellow's dead at thy feet. That's what I am. But thou art my life. Remember the family Mulligan and shine upon them. It is thy and the days to come. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's end by singing 420 stanza 5. 420 stanza 5. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in what's following.